to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Will be in verse 8, a very well-known verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The title of my sermon tonight is "The Devil, Our Adversary." The Devil, Our Adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible says this: "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I'll go ahead and read that one more time. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes for a quick word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you open our hearts and minds to the preaching of your word tonight, Father. I pray, Lord, that you remove any distraction, Lord. Give me strength, wisdom, a strong voice as I preach your word tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you meet with us, be with us here tonight. And I just pray, Lord, that this won't be just a sermon that we hear every Sunday or every Wednesday, but that we would remember it throughout the week, Lord, and apply it to our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We live in an age, day and age, where we are constantly being attacked spiritually as Christians. It could be through the TV, through our cell phones, social media, through worldly music, and how immodest men and women dress. And as we just read in this verse, we see that the devil, our adversary, that word adversary means our enemy, is walking around seeking whom he can devour. If you are a born-again Christian, you need to realize that the devil is after you and he wants to destroy the wonderful plans he has for your life, that God has for your life. And I'm going to give you 3 points tonight in regards to that. But before we move on, let's go ahead and reread our main passage again. I really want to emphasize the importance of this passage here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. First of all, we see "be sober," the first two words in the beginning of the verse. Be sober, okay? In other words, be serious-minded, clear-headed. Don't be under the influence of something. I'll give you an example. Alcohol, okay? If you're drinking alcohol, okay, and it's sad, I know a lot of Christians, I have a lot of coworkers that they say they're Christians, but they see nothing wrong with beer or drinking alcohol. I still think that's wrong. I don't think a Christian should be drinking. Imagine me holding a Bud Light. It wouldn't look too good on me, would it? No, it would not. If you drink too much of that, you're going to be under the influence of it. Okay? And a mistake can happen. You can do something foolish. I remember when I was a teenager, when I was doing stuff I shouldn't be doing, I would make mistakes because of it. Okay? That's why he says clearly in verse 8, in the beginning, he says, be sober. Let's keep on going. Let's look there at verse 8. Look at your Bibles, please. He says, be vigilant. Be vigilant. In other words, watchful, alert. You got to be watching yourself, alert. As a young man, I'm very impatient, and I go forward with things, okay? And in Bible college, I had to learn the hard way because I was so very, okay, I want to do this right now, I want to go right now. And I would get into it and whatever I wanted to do, and then boom, I make a mistake because I go in too hard and I'm not watching myself. I'm not being alert. We ought to take the first, this verse is very powerful. It says, be sober, be vigilant. And it just doesn't have to be alcohol. It could be any kind of drug, okay? Marijuana, the same thing happens. I remember when I was in high school, some of my friends, they went to go party. This was before I was saved, but anyways, They want to go party. I didn't go that day. I didn't want to go wherever they were at. I just want to do my own thing. I was home with another friend. Both of us, we didn't want to go. They were at a pool party. About an hour later, they called us. One of our friends called us, and he was crying. I don't know why. I'll explain why, but I don't know why he was crying. He's always the tough one of the group. Always talking a lot of trash, trying to start fights with people. And he called us crying, saying that one of my other friends, he drank too much alcohol, and he started fighting everyone at the pool party. Even his own friends. And they had to call the cops on him. They called the cops on him. And the one that got, he was under the influence, the one that got under the influence of alcohol, he's never been the type of guy to get in trouble. He was always a good one out of the group. Never got in trouble. He was always in school, getting good grades. He was going to go to college. And because of that mistake, he messed up a lot in his life. They called the police on him. The police came. He even tried to fight the police. He was under the influence of alcohol. Now, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. You have to be careful. Teenagers, you have to be careful. You don't want to make a mistake, okay? Because it could happen. Just one mistake. One mistake could mess up a lot. It could mess up your future. And if you're not sober, like the Bible says, if you're not being vigilant, just one mistake could mess up everything God has for you. I've made mistakes where God has had to take stuff out of my life, blessings out of my life, all because of my foolishness. If us as Christians, we're not careful, we're not being sober, we're not being vigilant, we can make a mistake and it will cost us something. It's painful. The consequences of sin is painful, folks. Now you say, Brother Carlos, why do you want to focus so much on these two things, being sober and being vigilant? Because the devil is the Bible says it. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Do you know what that means? It doesn't say he's seeking whom he can play patty cake with. He's not trying to play patty cake with somebody. He's not trying to play video games with somebody. What does he want to do? He wants to devour you. You know what devour means, right? Eat you up. Destroy you. He wants to destroy you, folks. He doesn't want to play around. He wants to destroy you. Okay? As Christians, we need to take this verse very, very seriously. The devil can't take away your salvation. But like I said before, he knows that God has great plans for you. And listen to me. You ought to believe that. If you're a Christian, you're a born-again Christian, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you trusted Christ as your Savior, God has great plans for you. It doesn't matter how messed up your past is, what kind of mistakes you've made in the past. If you're a born-again Christian, God has great plans for you. He loves you. He wants to bless you. And the devil knows this. The devil knows this. And that's why he wants to attack what God has for you in the future. Now that we've looked into our main verse, let's jump into the 3 points of tonight's sermon that I would like to share with you tonight. But if you were to ask a successful businessman, what is the key to having ultimate success in a business? He would say, work hard, be consistent, and have patience. Okay? Those three things. Work hard, be consistent, be patient. It is evident, okay? It is evident that the devil uses this successful key to take down Christians, okay? Look, the devil works hard. He knows his time is almost out. He works hard. The devil's consistent, okay? And the devil's patient. And he's going to keep going at you. I can see that in my life when I became a Christian. I can see I was trying to stop doing things that I shouldn't be doing. I could see the devil working against me. And I would say, wow, I could actually see the devil trying to take me down, trying to put temptation into my life to make me fall. That's what the devil's going to do with you, folks. Okay? He's going to work hard. He's going to be consistent. Okay? He's going to be patient and he's going to try to take you down. one of the ways the devil will try to take you down is that, number one, this is point number one, the devil will lie to you. The devil will lie to you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 1 through 6. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We see in verse number one, the first thing the devil did, okay, and you're going to see this in your own life. I've seen this in my life. The first thing the devil did was he questioned her. Look at verse 1. He says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, remember, this is the serpent speaking to the woman. Now he said, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Wait, hold up. God told you that you can eat out of all the trees, but not this one? He told you that? Oh, God doesn't want you watching things you shouldn't be watching on your phone? Why? Everyone does it. That's normal. You're a guy. You're a teenager. Or you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. Why? He's going to lie to you. Let's go to verse 4. Look at what he says in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth, we're now in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Straight up lies to Eve. You're not going to die. God told you that. You're not going to die. If you eat of that tree, you're not going to die. You're going to be like a god. Straight up lie to her. You know, that's what the devil does to us throughout the week. He lies to you. Oh, just a little bit. If you drink, you know, it's just once a week. I mean, you hold yourself off the six days, at least on the seventh day, just drink a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. He's going to tell you lies. Lies and lies and lies. Like I said, folks, God has plans for you. He loves you. He wants to bless you. But we need to do our part when it comes to if we're going to obey or not. That's on me. That's on you. For the teenagers, it's not on your mom, it's not on your dad, it's on you, okay? We need to make the decision if we're going to make the right choice. Let's look at verse 5. We already read it. Let's go ahead and read it again. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He made something up that wasn't true. That was not true, okay? Because if you read the rest of the story, God kicked them out of the garden. They didn't turn into no gods. God kicked them out of the garden. They fell for the trap. Folks, don't fall for the trap. Don't fall for the devil's going to lie to you. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Number two, the devil will use devices, okay, or people to influence you. Let's go to Psalm chapter 10, verse 2. Psalm chapter 10, verse 2. Psalms chapter 10, verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. That word devices could also mean a plan, a plot, okay, an idea. He says here, let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. You know, this brain of ours, folks, it could think of some crazy stuff. That's why on the news you see crazy stuff happening. like I believe it was a week ago, the shooting in New York, Buffalo. That's crazy. The young man, he was 18 years old. Raise your hand if you're 18 in here. I know, okay, just Lucia, okay. A young man of Lucia's age, 18, going to a store to shoot up innocent people. Okay, that's wicked. And he imagined that in his head. Even as Christians, okay, that can still happen to us, folks. He says right here in verse 2, he says, let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Okay, and he's talking about the wicked here because he says the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. He says, let them get it. You're being wicked. You want to disobey God. You want to live your life the way you want. All right, then. You're just going to get given up to the wicked devices, the wicked ideas, the wicked imaginations you have in your head. And all of that, folks, it destroys you. Sin destroys you. It might be pleasurable for a season, but it's going to destroy you. It always happens. You're not going to win. Okay? Your sin is not going to win. It's going to destroy you. Okay? The devil has used technology in order to make Christians fall into sin. He has used the cell phone, the TV, the social media to tempt Christians. Mr. Mendez was saying when he was praying, nowadays, the young people, it's harder because we got the cell phones. And I understand, I know what he means. It's harder, it's wicked. I've gone 5 years without social media. I hate social media. I don't like social media. Now, I'm not saying you should delete social media, okay? I don't want to be those type of preachers that say you need to delete your social media and you need to delete your Facebook. But I just personally don't have social media. I haven't had it for 5 years. Now, I do plan on having it if one day the Lord gives me the privilege to be a pastor one day. But that will only be for ministry purposes. But I don't like social media. I don't like taking pictures of myself, selfies, you know, and posting them so people could give me likes and comment something nice about my face. I don't like doing that. I know there's a lot of guys that like to take pictures of their coffees and put them on Snap. I don't know why. I don't know what's so cool about taking a picture of your drink and putting it. I just don't wonder. I know, even though I'm young, I'm old. I'm a little bit old fashioned, okay? I just don't understand it. I don't like it. I don't want social media. I don't want to do that. Okay? But the devil has used social media tremendously to spread lies, temptation. Okay? I don't like it one bit. The devil has used that tremendously. Okay? People cheating on their wives, wives cheating on their husband, texting other people they shouldn't, young people flirting with bunch of girls or ladies flirting with a bunch of guys behind their parents' back. It's a mess, folks. It's a mess. I've seen it all the time. It happens. Even in Bible college, they've had to kick out students because they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. In Bible college. You said, Brother College, but that's Bible college. Yeah, but they're still human. We're humans. And they still mess up. They make mistakes. And sometimes it's even the pastors because they're good kids, but they fall into the trap. And that trap, it's a lie, folks. It's a lie. The devil's going to use that. The phone, the TV. He's trying to tempt Christians. He wants to destroy your life. Now, some of you guys are listening right now. You probably don't agree with me, and that's fine. But if you look out throughout your week, remember this message throughout your week. It's going to happen. You're going to see the devil working, the temptation. Okay, remember this message and you're going to see that what I was preaching tonight, it was true. The devil will also use people in your life. The devil will also use people, family or friends, okay, to influence us from completing the will of God in our lives. I'll show you an example. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. Is this, but he turned, this is Jesus, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. his own disciple, the Lord Jesus Christ, his own disciple, Peter, okay, was used by the devil to stop the Lord Jesus Christ from getting to the cross. And right here we see, you know, we see Jesus calling him out. No, and if you see it, he doesn't say it in a nice way. You know, it's 2022 now. People, they get offended very easily. That's what I've noticed. But anyways, they get offended very easily in 2022. Jesus straight up told him, "Get behind me, Satan." One of his own disciples, one of the own guys he worked with, he said, "Get away from me, Satan. Get behind me." Okay? He told him straight up. Just how the devil was trying to use Peter from getting the Lord Jesus Christ to get into the cross. That's the same way. That's why God gave, he left that in the Bible. That's a perfect example. The devil's going to use some of your friends, some of your family members to influence you to not live for God and not continue in the path that God has for you. The beautiful plans. The devil's going to do that, folks. That's why I'm very strict on who I hang out with. Sometimes I have my old friends from high school. They'll text me and they'll be like, "Carlos, we want to hang out with you." And this, and I love my friends from high school. You know, I know a lot of them are doing better, but I do know that they still like to drink, smoke, and party. And I'm not for that. So I'm not going to go and hang out with them like that. Maybe I'll see them once in a while, but not every weekend. Not every weekend. I'm not for that, like I said. And I don't want to make a mistake. Just because I was around them, the devil's going to use them, and I'd make a foolish mistake. I don't want to do that. Remember, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be what? Be vigilant. Be vigilant. I want to watch myself. Okay? Let's go ahead and go to point number 3. And this is going to be the last point. The first point was the devil was going to lie to you. Point number 2, the devil will use devices or people to influence you. Guys, if we could quiet down, please, just 10 more minutes. I'm almost done, okay? He's going to lie to you. He's going to use devices or people to influence you. Number 3, the devil will throw you life problems or offers. He's going to throw you life problems or offers. The devil knows my weaknesses. The devil knows your weaknesses. He knows it. And he probably might throw you a good job offer. I've had plenty of those. But I'm not going to work on Sundays. I don't want to work on Sundays. I'm going to come to church on Sundays. My dad has always taught us, you got to go to church on Sunday. Sundays for church. You can't work. My dad wouldn't let me get a job where I work on Sundays. Okay? That's how he taught me. Even before I was I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 19. I didn't like my dad's rules, but I was living under his roof. He paid the bills, so I had to obey him. And he would say, "You can't work on Sundays." Thank God the Lord provided me a job at Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays, so I worked at Chick-fil-A. Even though I didn't like it, but I worked there. And I was getting a few bucks there to save up to buy stuff that I didn't need. But the devil is going to throw you stuff like that. Just simple little stuff. It's funny. It's just something so simple, but because of how our mind works and how foolish we are sometimes, we start thinking about it. Oh, I'm getting paid 15 right here, but if I start working Sundays, they're going to pay me 16. Oh, $1 extra. And you're thinking about it. No, folks. That's what the devil wants. Or maybe it's not even a dollar. It's a bunch more money. That's what the devil wants. He wants to destroy your life. He doesn't want you living for God. And like I told you in the beginning, God loves you. Okay? And if you're in here tonight, you're struggling with sin, let me tell you, let me remind you this. God is for you. Okay? I tell the teenagers, there's two type of Christians. Okay? Well, actually, not really, but I like to label it like that, okay? There's a Christian that is struggling with sin. He wants sin out of his life. He's fighting to get sin out of his life. There's Christians like that, folks, okay? There's probably struggling with something. You're still a human, okay? So you're still going to struggle with sin. And maybe he wants to conquer a sin. God is for that person. God is for that Christian. But then there's the other one that calls himself a Christian, okay? And There's sin in his life, but he doesn't really think about it. He doesn't really care. He indulges in the sin. There's no repentance. There's no, oh, I don't feel bad. They even plan their sin out. God is not for that person. But if you're in here tonight, you're struggling with sin. God is for you in your struggle. And he wants you to overcome that. He's for you in that, okay? Always remember that. Don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. God is for you. Amen? But like I said, if you're that Christian, you're indulging in sin. You don't care. If I were you, I would be careful. I wouldn't want to be playing around with sin. Because sin doesn't play. You can play with it, but sin won't play with you. And it will destroy you. It will mess you up. And I don't want to get a sad, I don't want to get a sad phone call. But the devil knows our struggles, our weaknesses. I always tell the teenagers, for the young people, okay, he'll probably throw a pretty lady at you, or a handsome young man, okay? You got to be careful with that. You don't want to do something foolish like that. Be careful. And not even if you're a teenager, even as an adult, that could still happen. The devil's going to try to mess you up, folks. He's going to try to mess you up. Okay? Let's keep on going here. He's tempting you. He's trying to get you away from the things of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. And I'll be done with this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. See, when Jesus was being tempted, see, God, I thank God for putting this kind of stuff in the Bible, okay? He even shows Jesus being tempted. I was telling the teenagers this past Sunday that God, in the Old Testament, he even put people's mistakes in the Bible so that we could learn from them. He did that, and that's beautiful. That's something, I think it's beautiful that he did something like that. Or to learn from the mistake. Or if we make the same mistake, to know that he still loves us. Amen. Matthew chapter 4 verse 1. Then was Jesus led up to the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We see here in verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness. The forest, however you want to put it. The jungle. To be tempted of the devil. Okay. So Jesus goes into the wilderness. Verse 2 it says. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward and hunger. Okay. He didn't eat for 40 days. Okay. He was fasting in prayer. He was seeking God. Okay, and of course we see him in the end of last two, he was afterward and hunger. I'm hungry every 3 hours, so I imagine Jesus was hungry after 40 days. Amen. But verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these that these stones be made bread. Right there we see the first temptation that the devil threw at Jesus. He said, you haven't ate for 40 days? Well, aren't you the Son of God? You see these rocks right here, Jesus? Turn them into bread. You haven't eaten for 40 days. Go ahead and eat them. Same way, folks. Like I told you, if you remember this sermon during the week, the devil's going to tempt you. Some type of way like that. He's going to try and tempt you. Oh, you haven't done this. Oh, you've been living for God. You've been doing this, this, and that. Well, what about this over here? Go ahead and enjoy it. This sin right here. Go ahead and indulge in it. Okay? That was the first temptation. Because of time, I won't read the rest of the verses. But in verses 5 and 6, he took him to the temple, to the top of the temple. And he told Jesus to jump off the temple to see if his angels would come and save him. The devil was just tempting Jesus in any way he could. He tempted him again. And verse 8, he offers Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. He says, bow down to me right now, Jesus, and you see all these kingdoms? He took him to the top of the mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms. He said, you see all these kingdoms right here? They could be yours. Just bow down to me. Okay? We see here the devil clearly tempted Jesus. If the devil was trying to take down our Lord Jesus Christ, of course he's going to want to take down his children which is us. We ought to be careful, folks. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. As the people of God, we need to take the devil serious. He is not dressed as a red character with horns and a pitchfork. That's how the world puts the devil. I'm pretty sure you've seen those cartoons. He's all red, he's got horns, and he's got a pitchfork. That's not how the Bible describes the devil, folks. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 14, the Bible says that he is dressed as an angel of light. The devil looks good. It looks good. That's why sin, when we look at it, okay, or when our flesh wants it, it looks good. The Bible says the devil is dressed as an angel of light. Okay? Sin is going to look good. But once you take it, you want to take a bite out of the apple that God told Adam and Eve not to eat out of the tree? It looks good, okay? But once you try it, once you indulge in it, the consequences are painful. The consequences are costly. You don't want that for your life. I don't want that for my life. Be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes, and then after